Good morning. I hope last week you made time and was abiding in Christ. Any of you working on that still? I think one of the hardest things to go through in life is attending funerals. I've done a lot of funerals, but when it hits your home or it hits your heart, it's a difficult thing. And sometimes people may even question, why did this happen? Well, if we go all the way back to Genesis, we know that when sin came into the world, it says the wages of sin, what we have earned as we sin, is what? Death. It's bound to happen. The problem with it is we don't know when and we don't know who. I always feel really bad when it's parents losing children before they're gone, because that's not how we think that things should be. And it recently, when it hit our family, it's interesting just to see how it hit each member of the family, and it hits them different ways. And there are times that a moment or unexplained reason, you might shed a tear. The other day there's a thing called TikTok that the kids look at. And my sister had an account. And somehow her youngest daughter, was able to get into that account and share that my sister had passed. And when she had, I read the comments and it made me have tears. Life is precious, folks. It's precious every day. And thanks God for the day that He gives us that we might share about Him. Now let's look at the life of Lazarus if we can. We have to go back a little bit into chapter 11. First of all, Lazarus' name means God has helped. We certainly will see that. He's from the house of Bethany. He lived with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. In chapter 11, if you go back to home today, you can see in verse 1 that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are all together. And Jesus, in verse 3, it said, He loved them. I can tell you something today. Jesus loves you. But we don't see in the Bible of too many pausing moments that Jesus was allowed in his life where he built relationships with people, but he happened to build them with these people. In verse 4, Lazarus gets ill. We don't know what it was, but it was an illness where he was not going to recover. He was dying. In verse 6, Jesus did something that nobody expected him to do. It said, so Jesus stayed 2 more days. We would think we're calling 911, you're going to be there in less than 15 minutes. But Jesus didn't do that. He stayed. It was kind of unexpected, but it was God's plan and design to make sure that what was going to happen, there would be no question that Lazarus surely had died. Verse 21, Martha goes out and she says, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. She shows her faith knowing who he is and what he's done in the past. That had he been there, he could have stopped that from happening. And Jesus says to us today, as he did to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So the question today for us that you might write down on your heart and take home is, do you believe this? If you don't, we hope by the end of today, before you leave, you will. Verse 35, people have just preached on that one verse because it's the shortest verse, and it says Jesus wept. We know Jesus in the Bible, it talks about him weeping two other times. One, when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. The other was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it said that he wet and his sweat, his blood, or became like blood when he was sweating and he was in the garden. 4 days, a body will start to decompose. And there'll be no doubt in verse 39, the Jewish people and the Jews that were with her would know that he died. Verse 41, we see Jesus prays to the Father. And he also mentions Lazarus by name. In verse 44, he not only raises Lazarus from the dead, he asked him to free him from his grave clothes. And then if you keep reading, you go to chapter 12, and guess where Jesus is? With Lazarus, Mary, and Martha having a meal. And who's sitting at the table with Jesus? Lazarus. What can we learn from these things? It is recorded that Jesus raised other people from the dead. There was a little girl, remember, that had passed away, and he went into the room and he raised her from life, from the death to life. And there was a widow's son that they were having a funeral procession. Jesus happened to come by and he healed that son. The first thing that we need to get out of this is that we are all dead in our sins. Every one of us. If we have no relationship with the living Savior, our ending up is going to be eternal death, in a sense. And he is there. He is that resurrection and the life. Most of you know John 3:16. You may have learned it in Sunday school, right? If you believe in him, what happens? You have eternal life. Lazarus' resurrection shows that Jesus has the power to conquer death. Out of all the things that sicknesses and everything else there is, the one thing that seems to try to have victory over us is death. But the Bible tells us that in Christ, there is no victory in death. And the sting of death is also gone. I know I have a peace and comfort. Many of my family do. Because my sister beat us to heaven. And I know if I read in Revelation 21, 22, she doesn't want to come back. Even though there's a lot of things that we wish that she would have experienced here on earth. So if you've lost a loved one, remember, if they're in Christ, they're in such a better place. I like what Isaiah was saying. In Revelation, it says the same thing. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. No more suffering. They are like him, it says John in 1 John. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Philippians 2:16, where Paul writes, the word is life. If you want to know where you stand, we talked about abiding last week, and that was that you abide and you be in the word of God. The Word of God, as you trust in it and you read it, will bring you to salvation, will bring you life, everlasting life. John 8:51 says, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never die." That's how this all happens. We need Christ. And then we also experience liberty. Notice that Jesus told him and said, "Loosen the grave clothes." Martha had said he had been in there for 4 days, and one of the Bible verses, and I think it's in Matthew, it tells us that the word just says that he stinketh. So once he was resurrected, would you want to invite him to your house? You might want him to change and take a shower or something, right, before he would do that. His clothes were there and needed to come off. There's liberty in Christ. He needed to change. John 8:31-32, "If you abide in the word, you are truly my disciples." Verse 32, "Know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free." If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been cured from death. You have life in Christ, everlasting life. And you also have liberty to now to serve Him. You are not bound by the old nature. 2 Corinthians tells us we are what? A new creation, a new creature. It's interesting, too, as I mentioned in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we later find Lazarus there sitting with Jesus having a meal. Imagine what they were talking about. Then we see later on in chapter 12, we see that the Pharisees come. And what they are planning, their plan was to not only stone Jesus, but guess who else they wanted to kill? Lazarus. They wanted to kill him too. And Bible history tells us that Lazarus later on moved to Cyprus and lived for God and proclaimed his word. It is even said that even when he died again on his tombstone, it said, "Lazarus, 4 days dead," to remind people of what God had done. Again, I can only imagine Martha and Mary, their hearts, as they knew what Jesus could do, and not understanding at the time what would happen and why Jesus would use this moment to show his power over death. Folks, there's going to be times in your life where you won't understand what God is doing. Maybe even today you question God's timing on things. And God's timing is not like ours. And sometimes we wonder why somebody might pass sooner than what we'd want them to. And yet, I mentioned it in my sister's, after my sister's funeral, what if one person at that funeral found their heart turned towards God and their need for God? What is that worth? And so every time in our life, there might be a time where we have to wait. Jesus could have left and said to the disciples, "We got to hurry up, we got to get there and make sure that he doesn't pass." But he doesn't. He does probably the opposite of what we all think. He waited until it was known that Lazarus was dead. But we all serve that same Savior who has the power over death. And there is that resurrection time. And there will be that time where we hear that shout. Lazarus heard his name. Some say if he had said for the graves to be open, all of them would have come out. So he had to be specific that it was just Lazarus. But isn't it nice to know that we serve that risen Savior with that power, that we too will see the ones that we talk about today in memory of, ones that in the past and in our lives that we knew and are no longer here, is so important that you know where you are, as we talked even last week, and that you share in your life what God means to you. There are so many times now when I deal with the healthcare profession and we deal with people in, say, have problems with their cognitive ability, and we don't get to know who that person really was. Sometimes at a funeral, you might see pictures of their life real quickly, of what they were like young, or like my sister, they had her with each one of the girls as they grew up, and they had it separate, which was kind of neat. And as I was looking at it, you know, I knew her more when she in her younger years, and before she got married, I'd moved away. And I looked at that, and there's a lot of her life I didn't know. It's so important that you tell your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren. Some of you may have great-grandchildren. That you leave them the word of where you stand with our risen Savior. We were talking earlier this morning even, and we said a lot of people don't even go to church anymore. It's not as important. When I was young, that was a normal thing. It wasn't that my parents were real spiritual or anything like that. It was just a normal pattern that you got dressed up, you got in the car, and you went to church. And when I got out of college and moved away from home, I knew I needed, one of the first things I put as a priority was I needed to get into a church. Because it would be real simple to start living a life of going to school and having what I think would be an extra day on a weekend and not have to do anything. I had to discipline myself to do that. So it's so important. And when death does come, we see where Mary and Martha were at a point where they were distressed and weeping, and other people were weeping with them. Folks, we have a hope. And when you have friends and neighbors that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a whole different world. It is hard enough for us, isn't it? But there is strength in Christ. There's comfort in Christ. And that's why it's so important. So here we know that Jesus is one that has victory over death. Amen? Amen. Simply trust him.